Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Listen to the words of the song we're about to sing. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And then the third stanza, trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. You do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. So far we read these words that John gives us of Christ and their sad answer to him. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it and that we will know the whole truth of God's word by continuing in all of it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name that there is a new and living way in Christ, that there is a way back to thyself through Christ. And we pray, Father, in his name for the Holy Spirit, who ordered John to write this, who inspired him, as well as all other scripture, that that same Spirit might lead us into the truth of these words, that he might lead us into every needed way of both repentance and faith. Of repentance, as Lord Jesus, you said, when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin, because we believe not on thee. And help us to know that though we can have a semblance of believing, and a historic believing, or as we read of believing in thee because of miracles and other reasons, that it is not that saving faith, as we see evident here. And we pray, Father, that we might learn from it, and we might not be left short of giving thee glory, short of salvation ourselves, short of what we can tell others and be a witness in the world. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt teach all of the church in the way of repentance, in the way of faith, in the way of obedience, in the way of enduring against sound doctrine, that the church might be a salt and a light in every nation of which it is a part. We pray it especially for our own nation. We pray also for our leaders, that thou wilt put thy fear in every heart, either more of it if they have it, or begin it where there is not that fear of thee. And as Paul could say, even to the church of Rome, describing many, there is no fear of thee, no fear before thee. And, Father, we know that if there is no fear of thee, that we do not have the beginning of wisdom, that we remain in our foolishness and our pride. And we pray that thou would bring us to repentance in the church, in our homes, in our individual lives. And then, Father, that being done, we can rightly expect repentance in the nation, both among us as a people and our leaders. And we pray for it, for thy glory. We pray for it, for the good of ourselves. We pray for it especially for the good of the future, for our children, that we will not have a nation as we are today, ruining it, and not giving what is needed for our children and for the future. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly realize this, and we might have, as the Corinthians did, a godly sorrow over our sin, our carnalness, our divisions, our pride, all of our wicked ways. And we pray, Father, that we might have, as the Corinthians, a reviving, and, as Paul could say, a clearing of yourselves in this matter, and that that might take place. We might realize the need of it. We might preach for it, we might pray for it, and that we will hope in Christ thou wilt give it. We also give thanks, Father, for the temporal blessings that we do have so abundantly in food and raiment, homes, and other blessings in nature. And we pray that they might continue. We pray also, Father, for those that do not have these blessings, that are starving, that are homeless, those that are in the terrible war-torn lands and the awfulness of it, the sorrow, the fear, the injury, the pain, all these things, Father, taking place so awfully in so many nations. And we pray that through the gospel there might come peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that what was said by the angels at thy birth, Lord Jesus, may be fulfilled in our time, in that area and throughout the world. We pray for those in sickness, that thou would give healing to many. Give them faith to look to thee for that blessing and to learn of thee through afflictions. Those in injuries, those, Father, in other calamities and needs in the flesh, that they might have them, those suffering in flood, famine, drought, earthquake, wind, all these calamities that have taken place. And again, we give thanks, Father, for we being spared of them, and we pray for those who are suffering under them through Christ. Amen. As we look at this, thinking of what we considered last week, the gospel, we read it from Romans chapter 1, where Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We also thought of Paul's words to the Corinthians and said that he had preached the gospel to them by which they were saved, and giving that wonderful message of the gospel, Christ dying for our sins according to the Scripture, being buried and rising again according to the Scripture. The Scripture speaking of the gospel long before Christ actually suffered and died and rose again. God saying it to Abraham, and Paul writing to Abraham, was the gospel preached. And we know that it was there in type through all the sacrifices and through all the messages that Paul would sum up later and say that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we know that in the shedding of blood, there is the remission of our sin. Do we know it? Do we know it as we should? Do we know it better than these people here that Christ spoke to and literally gave them the gospel when he said, as we read from John chapter 8, verse 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, and as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And then we have the very plain statement. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Some would like to say amen to that. Christ spoke it, they believed it. What more is needed? Christ said what was needed. Listen to the Father's words as John gives them to us, and then Christ's words recorded. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They had believed part of the truth. What Christ spoke to them was the truth. It was really the heart of the gospel. He said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he." And he also said that when he was lifted up, men would believe on him in other recordings in Scripture. But now he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then are you learners. Then are you becoming," as Christ said, as recorded in Matthew, "except to be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." That had to unfold with this, and that had to unfold in following. continue in my word. How many there are that believe a part of Scripture? Many think it's sufficient. We have many denominations, and many have their particular teachings, and it is often part of Scripture. It is often as well as Christ said to the Jews in his time, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. Different denominations are known for different things. If we read in the dictionary the word denomination, it gives a number of things that it can be in a worldly way, but also in a spiritual way. It says a religious sect. That can be a denomination. People speak of my denomination, your denomination, this one, that one, giving it names. Some of them names of the reformers. Some of it names of things that identify with the Reformation. The Reformed, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, the Methodist. All these different denominations. And they are denominations because of what they believe. They have their confessions. But many, and I know myself included, did not continue in the Word, did not learn the whole Word for a long time. I was shut up to some of the words of Scripture, did not want to hear them, did not want to believe them. And that was the problem right here. When Christ said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, they said, we're not in bondage. Why sayest thou, you shall be made free? Many people believe they have been born free. Their children are born free. They're already part of the Church of Christ. We hear explanations that, well, if you are in this or that situation, then you won't experience conversion like others do, especially those out in the world. But do we really know what God has put us here for? For His glory. And it's not to His glory to have just churchianity, which many do. It is rather Christianity, which we need, and which gives us, as I said earlier in prayer, we give thanks for a new and living way, God's way, through Christ. We have, in different places in Scripture, somewhat the same thought. We have, in the Gospel of John earlier, Christ's words to Nicodemus, the wonderful words that so many know, so many have learned as children. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe that. We say, I know it. And I believe it and I have everlasting life. But even one part of that wonderful Scripture, do we know? We shall not perish. What will stop our perishing? Only believing. Not what we were born with. Not the circumstance we're in. It will come by believing. By having the gospel preached to us. And as Christ said, it must be to every creature. And then he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then Christ said, Father, which often we neglect to follow. We don't continue in the rest of the word that the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus and says to all of us. The following words in that same third chapter are that men loved darkness rather than light. And then even a stronger statement after that. Everyone that does evil hates the light. Not only are we guilty of loving darkness more than light, as if we can love both, but hating the light. And that proved itself to be true. Throughout the Gospel of John, we can read until we read, "And they hated me without a cause," as we read in John chapter 15. And then finally, they had him crucified. That hatred came into action. They literally forced Pilate into it. And all of that was religious people, the most religious, the most privileged, those that, of which Paul said, "What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision?" The answer is, much every way. To them were given the oracles of God. And how many have been born with that wonderful privilege, the Scripture in the home, they being able to attend a church where the Scripture is preached, at least, I have to say with it, in part. Believed, sadly, often in part. And that's why we have our denominations. That's why we have our separations. I remember talking to someone even last week, mentioning another denomination, and soon a frown appeared on his face. Did not want to hear of that denomination. One of his own past. That is often the sad situation. And, as I mentioned last week, that can even be traced back to the Reformation. The sad separations, the sad differences. And one of the reasons was they didn't continue together through having the whole Word. There were some who were converted by the leaders of the Reformation and their own converts. Some of them said, "We must go further. We must have further Reformation. We must have a further separation from the church which was wrong." And no, they said, "We have to go as far as the city fathers will accept it, and they can enforce it as far as the public will take it." They did not do like Peter and John when they were told not to go so far, not to say so much, not to preach any more in the name of Christ, as we can read in the book of Acts, chapters 3, 4, and 5. And there they said, "Whether it be right to obey God or you, judge you." That is all part of the Word, both in teaching and example. The apostles were slow in learning from Christ. They had to continue. He had to open their understanding on the day of resurrection that they might understand the Scripture. They had already been taught for 3 years by the perfect teacher and yet did not know the Scripture. And two of them that were part of the group, Christ said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the Scriptures have spoken." And here, these people were no better. What were they? How did it continue? How did it end? Christ said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." They said, "We are Abraham's seed." We have denominations that teach that today. We, as the Jews were then, are now, they even, some of them call it replacement theology. We are in their place. Like those people were the children of Abraham, and God would say to Abraham, "I'll be a God to thee and thy seed." Not the situation, not circumstance, not the fullness of the promise, not also neither the lamentation of the promise. What did he simply say? "I'll be a God to thee and to thy seed, and give thee the land, thee and thy seed the land in which thou dost dwell." And some people don't even believe that last part of it. They take the first part of the word and say, as God said to Abram, so he says to us. I'll be a God to thee and to thy seed. What does he give with that? Yes, as I quoted earlier, much to them were given the oracles of God. But what did it do? What did they do with the oracles of God, which much of them were written by Moses? And Christ said, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And I give a solemn warning to any and all of you who don't believe Moses' words in creation. If you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Don't tell me you're going to deny what God told Moses to write concerning creation and call it a myth. And then say, I believe in Christ. I believe the words of Christ. Christ says you don't. He says, how can you? You are in unbelief. You have not continued in the word. And to continue in it, some of us have to go back to the beginning of the word. I mentioned it before and I'll say it again. When the communists took over in China, they said, if we can get the young people to believe in evolution, then we have got them under our control. Are all of our children under control when all of our schools, almost without exception, are teaching the lie of evolution? We have to continue until we come to repentance, until we come to not only creation, but the same God that created gave a holy law that doesn't just say thou shalt not, but it also gives the wonderful positive, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And he said that's the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One of the things we want in salvation, one of the things we need in salvation is forgiveness of sins. Sometimes that's not seen as clearly as it should be, justification. But we need it. And Christ says, you pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. And sometimes I see the lack of that in the church as well as in the world. We have to go on in the word. We have to repent. And until we repent and come further into the word of God, we cannot believe it rightly to the saving of the soul. The end of this message was Christ says, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Read it in the rest of this eighth chapter here, beginning in the earlier part of it, the middle part. It says, the deeds of your father, that's what you do, verse 41. And then again, he repeated it in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Spoken to those who were described as when they heard these words, they believed on him.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise